We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The day spring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God through His servant, Pastor Dimeji Elubadebo. Be revived.
I sense that we may dwell a lot in the book of Revelation this year. I'm just perceiving that some level of liberty and entrance. By the grace and mercy of God, there are times that the Spirit of God has led us in with a measure of light. But I just sense that the Lord will open. I just perceive it in my spirit. So I myself am waiting, because the book of Revelation is what perfects the making of the bride of the Lamb. That book of prophecy is what perfects the making of the bride. And it is proper to see the book of Revelation, amen, from the perspective of preparing the bride. Let me say that again. It is proper or accurate to see the book of Revelation from the perspective of the making of the bride. Now, the bride of the Lamb is also the habitation of God. What did I say? So like I said, the Lamb's bride, or the wife of the Lamb, is also the dwelling place of God. Now, when I mean the dwelling place of God, in actuality, I mean the dwelling place of the Godhead, not just God the Father. So it means that the project bride is also project rest, or the project dwelling of God. And this is God's eternal project. Now, any New Testament prophet and apostle that does not make this an overriding vision does not understand the New Testament. The New Testament vision of God can be summarized in those two things I said. The preparation of the bride and the preparing or the building of the habitation of God. It's as simple as that. I mean, when you're talking about, you want to summarize the eternal plan and program of God for this dispensation, it can be summed in those things I said. The preparing of the bride for the Lamb. And the Lamb is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bridegroom. So I like the word bridegroom. Can we say bridegroom? Bridegroom connotes that the bridegroom is the one that will groom the bride. Then he will now present the bride to himself. Let's say the word bridegroom. So you now know that the marriage you are doing is a shadow. It is far lesser than the real marriage. The real marriage is not the one we are doing on earth. Amen. I hope I'll not get you angry. Amen. Because some people, that's what they are looking up to. He shall marry. I'm telling you that the real marriage is marrying the Lamb. But nobody is saying amen to that. What did I say is the real marriage, Joe? Sir, you must not miss this one. I find out that people don't look up to this one. this is the real marriage. So the one you have is a shadow. In the world to come, there will not be any marriage. I hope that is not that's not new news to you. How many of you know there will not be marriage in the world to come? Men will be like angels. They will not be given to marriage. Or there will not be marriage ceremony. There will not be copulation. Or consummation. All these things are for this age. And they are good. So it means everything God is teaching us here is a shadow of something that is to come. I think we should be excited. Now, so when somebody, if you are in the earthly marriage, you should be looking forward to the one that will remain forever. Your marriage with your wife cannot be forever. I'm not even talking about that maybe one will go to be with the Lord earlier than the other. There's no permanent marriage on earth. It is supposed to be for a season. But the Lord's project, or the Lord's marriage project, can we say the Lord's marriage project? Is a permanent marriage project. Oh, you are not saying it with me. What did I say it is? It's a permanent one. And I think if it's permanent or it is eternal, we should be very interested and keen to understand. So, let me say that again, that the project of preparing a bride for the Lamb, who is our Lord Jesus Christ, is also the project of building the habitation for God's dwelling. And when I mean God, I mean the Godhead. So, think about it. The Godhead is building a house for their rest. Glory to God. I think that's a very good place to say amen. All right, so let's see. Let me start from the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Okay, let's read this first. I said we should open this. Then I'll jump to the book of Revelation. It's going to be a long year teaching. Amen. So I think we are starting on a good foot. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Please don't miss meetings this year. You cannot afford to do so. If you are not here physically, stream online. You'll be blessed. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So, husband, your standard is Christ. I hope you know that. What did I say? Let me say, can all men say, my standard is Christ?
My standard is Christ.
Say it again, oh. So, husband, love your wife. So, none of us has loved our wives like Christ loved the church. All right? None of us here. So, we know that we need to keep growing so that we can attain this. So, it's possible for a man to attain this in his marriage. And that is the calling of a man in marriage. The calling of a man in his marriage is that you can attain to this kind of love that Jesus showed to his church. You can show it to your wife. That is when you have fulfilled the highest purpose of God for marriage, for an earthly marriage. And that can give you an access into an eternal blessing. Glory to God. I can hear you say amen. So when a man has an eternal project in view, he handles the present project of marriage well with the heart of attaining an uncorruptible crown. If any man wants to be like Jesus, he can't maltreat a woman. Any man that maltreats a woman has not met Jesus. You can't meet Jesus. Jesus does not joke with his church. You don't know, say, oh, amen, amen. What did I say? Let me say that. What did I say? Oh, Jesus does not play with the church. With this project of becoming his wife, he doesn't play with it. Because he gave himself for it. He gave himself for her, his totality. Jesus shed all of his blood for the church. So Jesus is jealous for his church. So I'm saying this to also instruct our men. As I'm teaching of the spiritual, I'm teaching you the natural. That you have to give all of yourself to your wife. What did I say? Men, what did I say? You are not answering me. Men, what did I say? Men, what did I say? If you want to be like Jesus. So the first lamb in a family should be a man. Contrary to tradition, in tradition, a man is a lion in his house. That lion says, It's more, I don't want to even use lion, a tiger. So, Jesus gave all of himself to the church. So, Jesus, the giving of yourself to your wife is the highest symbol of love. It's not even giving money. All those ones are, you can give money and not give yourself. Amen. Nobody's answering me again. So, giving money. If you have money, you can give money. It doesn't mean so much. To give yourself. The highest commandment a man can receive is to dwell with his wife. Men naturally are diverse in their dealing. So a man can be 10 and he will give one of that 10 to his wife at home. Other 9 is spread abroad into many things. One is, 2 is in workplace. One is project. One is some, we leave some of our portion in our parents' house. All kind of places scattered everywhere. So Jesus laid the standard. He gave all of himself. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
But as the bridegroom, the Bible says that he might want sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. This is so deep. All right. Now, but verse 27 is where I'm going. I'm not doing marriage seminar. That he might what? Present it to himself a glorious church. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. So this is the end of the project, is to present a church to himself. Now, the glorious church has certain characteristics that Paul began to define. He says, having not spot, not having spot, one, nor what? Wrinkle. Let's note these two things because we'll be amplifying it as we go on in the series. So, the Lamb's wife or the glorious church is spotless and wrinkleless. What did I say it is? Or it is without blemish. Alright, Paul now broke it further. He says, or any such thing, that it should be holy. So to be holy is without, is to be without spots. To be without wrinkle is to be without blemish. So this is the high calling of God for the church. What did I say it is? Thank you for Ephesians 4, 1 verse 11. According that he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be. So you can see, this is futuristic. It's not what you are because you got born again. The new birth is the beginning of a journey to become bridal. Alright? So I can be part of the body of Christ, and I am not part of the bride of Christ. Someone say, what do you mean? Being part of the body is one thing. Being the bride is another thing. So the highest calling of God for the church is to become the bride. Now, who is the bride? The bride is the highest state of consecration a believer can attain on earth in relationship to the Lord Jesus. Let me say that again. Becoming the Lamb's bride is the highest state of consecration that a Christian can attain on earth or in this dispensation. Meaning it's possible for a Christian not to attain bridal stature or become a bride. So, I can become a bride before I leave the earth. As a matter of fact, that is where you should become a bride. Because once you don't attain that bridal stature on earth, you cannot be part of the bride again. I don't know how I can explain it. They don't continue bridal project in heaven. Like you did not finish your journey to become the bride on earth. Then I said, we bless the Lord for your life. So when you get to heaven, they now continue. They don't continue in heaven. All right? Let me even say this. They don't even continue in the world to come. In the sense of becoming the bride. By the time the world to come has arrived, the bride is already made ready. The bridal configuration, the habitation of God is already built. Nobody saying amen.
Amen.
So it means that this project is a project within a dispensation called time. And for you as a Christian, it is only possible when you are alive in the body. Recently, God started teaching me about the issue of long life. I started understanding it. Why you must have faith for long life. And do obedience for long life. Just for one thing. Between you and God, God knows. Is because you want to be what? You want Him to show you His salvation. But you are not getting what I'm saying. A lot of people desire long life, but salvation is not the reason. They just desire long life just for to enjoy the earth more. That's all. Some maybe for better Christian service. I want to serve God more. I want to preach the gospel more. Let me tell you something. The only thing that guarantees long life, what I mean guarantee, is what? Is salvation. Whenever I mean salvation, I don't mean new birth. New birth is the beginning of salvation. How many of you know that? By salvation, I mean God's salvation. God's salvation is to arrive at what? God's incorruptible state. Can we all say amen? Amen. You are not answering me. Can we say amen?
Amen?
That's another bone of contention in the church. And God will have show mercy on our generation.
Amen.
For us to pass that understanding. Joyner said in one of his books many years ago, he wrote that book in 94. He said that there will be a lot of breakthrough concerning our understanding of salvation. That a generation must explore the depth of understanding concerning salvation. Of course, we know that that is already happening. Can we say amen?
Amen?
But the church must be willing to know that salvation is beyond the new birth. New birth is the beginning of salvation. There is something called the end of faith. What did I say there is? There is beginning of faith that begins salvation. In the raising of your spirit. But that's not all to salvation. No matter how the preacher puts it or packages it, he's not teaching you complete truth. Salvation is tied to the end of faith. And that end of faith is when the soul will have assessed the salvation that is in God. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear your amen.
Amen.
I can't hear your amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I'm saying that the bridal project is a project for time. And that's the reason for long life. All right. I've showed you this. So can you take me to Revelations 21? Let me just take a huge jump. Because we'll be doing so much from that book. But let's take a huge jump. Glory to God. All right. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So Revelations 21. All right. So I want to show us a picture of the end. Because I want us to begin from the end. The end is the finished bridal project and the finished habitation of God. Because in this, we are permitted to start. Now, if I show you the end, you should be interested in the process. Now, if I begin by showing you the end and you're not interested, you are telling me now, if I show you this end, all right, I want to start by giving a flash of the end, what God is calling us to become. If you are not interested, you will not be able to pay the price to become this. Because there is a price to become this. What did I say? Now, one of the saddest things that can happen to you is for God to give you an opportunity for seeing the highest thing He can give man. And you are not interested. Now, the highest thing that God can give man is not for a man to make heaven. A thief made heaven. All right? Making heaven is good, but that's not the best of God. All right. Say, I just want to make heaven. You don't need to really be a serious Christian. I'm telling you the truth. Just a basic Christianity. You can read your Bible maybe once a week. Pray once in a while. Just be a good person. You may end up making heaven. Making heaven is not as hard as they are painting it. You see, when our fathers were teaching making heaven, that was what they knew. But what they meant was becoming brighter. But there was no understanding and language for it. That's just the truth. That's what they... If they had mercy to know more, they would say, they know. So you tell... You see, someone like Daddy Abaye will tell you, be holy. That holiness is telling you is what Ephesians 1 verse 4 is saying. That we should be holy and without blame. So at times you can read beyond some of the intentions of the heart of some men that has come before us. Glory to God. I can hear you say amen.
Amen.
You know, one of the interests in God's heart this is to initiate many into understanding.
Amen.
God wants many people to understand clearly without any iota of doubt. Glory to God. So I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had what? Passed away and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. The first time I taught from this, I was 21. When I taught the message called the holy city, I was 20. And I'm 46 going to 50. So this has been a major part of my life for years. And I have not yet become it. But you see, I found out that it's a privilege to be in this part. What did I say, brethren? And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride. Prepared as a bride. Look at that. Adorned for a husband. So we can agree that the city is the bride. Can we all say that? So the calling to be bridal is the calling to be God's city. Alright? So, you know, I'm trying to make it very easy. God wants me to teach more simply. So I'll be slow at times. So the calling to be bridal is a calling to become God's city. So this city is not Lagos cosmopolitan city. This is the dwelling place of God. You know, many years ago, reading this book, we thought it was God, a physical city was coming out of God. No, we know the book of Revelation is a very symbolic prophetic document. So by the time you are reading the book of Revelation, you should have been schooled in what? Prophetic language. Dealing and understanding the things of God. When John the Baptist saw Jesus Christ for the very first time, he didn't call him anything but a lamb. So, are you telling me that John the Baptist saw, he saw a lamb? Same. So, why did he call him a lamb? So, we understand that God speaks in prophetic language. So, Jesus, he saw him and he called him a lamb. But that was his identity, what? In the spirit. So the old book of Revelation is a prophetic book. Even the languages used are prophetic. So when you are not schooled in prophetic languages from the old Bible, that's why it's the last book of the Bible, you will not be able to properly interpret the book of Revelation. All right? You see China and Japan there, amen. Or Russia. You will not be able to see the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
So, I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven. I like the word New Jerusalem. It means there's a former Jerusalem. Or what the Bible calls the heavenly Jerusalem. Currently, the heavenly Jerusalem is a conglomerate of angels. How many of you know that? That's in Hebrews chapter 12. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So it was coming out of God from heaven. So it means that this city or this bride is born of God. What did I say it is? So when it says coming out, he's talking about it has its origin in God and God alone. Meaning nothing of the earth of man is part of the configuration of the city of this bride. This bride has been totally purged from everything of the present. So you can't find anything present in this bride. Nothing of the present heaven and earth is part of this bridal configuration. They proceed out of God. They are from God. From God out of heaven. Like I've told you that heaven and earth is more than a place, is a state in God. What did I say? The place called heaven and earth came out of a state called heaven and earth. Heaven and earth had existed in God before he made heaven and earth. Because God is older than creation. And God brought forth creation by an architecture of life that is in himself. So there could not have been any heaven if God is not... Amen. If there's no heaven in God. Oh, nobody's answering me. There can't be any heaven that we know as heaven if it was not originally existent in God. So there is a life, there is a state in God that is heavenly. And it is strattered in righteousness. It has definite properties of righteousness that is in God. And then we also have earth that is in God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So there will not have been any earth if there's no earth in God. So there is a state called earth in God. And it's also defined by certain proportions of righteousness. Glory to God. Oh, you are not saying amen. Amen. So both heaven and earth have their originality in God. So the bride is of the heaven of God. They didn't say the bride is coming out of God, out of the earth. Amen. Are you getting this? It means the bridal project is an heavenly project. And it is an heavenly project of the world to come. Because there is an earth of the world to come. So this bride is not coming out of earth, Pastor CG. This bride will govern the earth. Now, by saying the bride will govern the earth, I mean that the earth of the world to come is a new earth. These are new men. But the bride has the superiority. Amen. Let me use the word, the aristocracy. They have the privilege to bring the governance of God in a future dynasty. Amen. Oh, nobody's saying amen. Amen. So you know what I'm saying? I want to paint the picture so you'll be interested. Because there's no way you will see this and you'll not be interested. No wonder the apostles lived the way they lived. They saw this vision. Someone like Paul did not even bother to marry. Amen. Maybe for Paul, maybe he was hoping that his sister would come. And they did not come. Just say, see, anything for the bridal project. It doesn't, you know. People like Paul fix their eyes firmly on this goal. So I said, how do I know that Paul made it? Can you tell me? His last epistle, he said he has finished his course. You think his ministry course is talking about? He's talking about the course to become heavenly. He said, I finished the course. He said, thereby lay to me a crown of righteousness, whom Jesus Christ will give me, that love is appearing. Oh. So it means a man can finish the bridal course on earth. Oh, yeah, I'm not getting good response. What did I say a man can finish? The course of becoming the bride or the habitation of God, like I said, is the same thing. He's the bride of the Lamb and the habitation of the Godhead. Imagine God choosing to live in man. Now let me tell you about God is not houseless. God's house is himself. They have been living in themselves before time began. They're just, because of mercy, they desire to share their estate with man. It was just mercy. So man is a love project. What did I say man is? Someone said, it's my life. Just leave me alone. I just want to live my life. Sir, you don't have any life. You were created to live out the dream of God. I'm telling you now, if you don't know, I'm telling you, some of, particularly Gen Z's, young people. Just leave me. Don't know if that should bug me. Now my life is not your life. Someone said, how do you know? It's a simple thing. If it's your life, you'll not give accounts. Have you thought of that? It's your life now. Leave it anyhow. So at the end of your life, you will do what? Oh, nobody's answering me again. So we'll give account to who? There's a boss. Sir, or guy, you get boss. And you're going to give account. No matter what you believe and what you are saying right now, you are going to give account of how you lived life. So it means you don't own any life. You were given life. That should humble anybody. So man is a project of God's vision, of God's love. God created man because he just wanted to share his estate with man. God had an habitation in himself before man. Because of the project of man, God now decided to create heaven and earth. So the creation is creation is a product of the desire of God to dwell in man. Let me say that again. Amen. What did I say creation is? Because God wants to dwell in man, he has to be made known to creation. Then he began creation. So creation itself is a program of God's mercy because God wants to dwell in man. So the Godhead are looking for a place to dwell in man. They have been dwelling in themselves. But love wants to share their estate. They don't want them to be only three enjoying that estate of life. That life is sweet, my bride. That life is sweet. The life in God is the sweetest life. So they wanted to share it with man. People lower than them, but they would choose because of their love and their benevolence. You know, at times a rich man can just want to meet someone and turn the person. Let me do miracle in your life. Let me change your estate. Take him for whoa, dara sara re. You know, I don't like saying mofe for obeje, mofe for wo tuenche. Like I want to bring you to my state. It's just that many people don't think like that. In the world, in this world, rich people don't want other people to be rich. In the present world. First class nation doesn't want third class nation to be first class. That's man for you. But God's kind of riches, he wants to bring many what? Many sons into glory. Now, the estate of the kingdom of God, their estate is that they want to bring many into the riches of their kingdom. And their riches is measured in stratas of love and mercy. Are you seeing God's heart? Can we all say amen? Amen. So does this project. So the vision there is the city is the dwelling of God, the final dwelling of God, and also the wife of the Lamb. Now let's see, verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will what? Dwell with them. He will dwell with them, and there shall be his people. So we can see, oh, these things are beautiful. So the people of God, amen, amen, are the dwelling of God. So it means that God's people are also in phases of evolution. Until God fully dwells in us, we have not fully become his people. So there shall be his people, and himself shall be their God. So we understand that this is the project of the New Testament. Let's see Hebrews chapter 8 verse 10. Alright, let's just connect scripture with scripture. Are we here? Oh, I can't hear you say amen. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind. So this is the process of becoming the people of God. So the new birth is the beginning of becoming a people. What did I say? Ask me why. You don't have laws yet in your mind. And they have not written on your heart. So there's a process of making of the people of God. He says, so the requirement of making you the people of God is that I will put my laws in their mind, and I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God. So meaning his laws, his writings precedes him becoming your God. I will be to them a God, and they shall be my people. Next verse, please. For they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. So the program of becoming a people is tied to knowing God. This is exciting. What did I say? Nobody's answering me. Oh. So in a church where knowing God is not an emphasis, it means that the plan is not that you become the people of God. That is not the trust of that house. But the New Testament trust is to bring forth the people of God. So knowing God. So God writing his laws on our minds and on our hearts is the process of what? Us knowing him. So knowing God is tied to the laws of God being revealed to us. Can we all say amen? Amen. So you can see, this is the New Testament project. Take me back to Revelation 21. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them. So this is what you call Emmanuel in the New Testament. God with them. So this is part of the... So that name Emmanuel is actually a futuristic name of Jesus. So God with us. So God being with us is that we have become God's dwelling place. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
And what? And be their God. Now let's run down, all right? And God shall wipe away all tears from what? Their eyes. So, you know, I'm wondering. I used to think that it's only... Amen. So, who are these people that have tears? These are the people of God. And the Bible says God will wipe away tears from my eyes. Why? They're sowed in tears. So the process of becoming a bride is a tear project. You know, let me just give you an example of tears. You know, look at somebody that has maybe training to win a particular competition, you know, and went through so much training. How many of you have seen this Indian film called Dangal? Amen. Some people, it's only super story they watch. Oh, you have not seen that movie, Dangal. About an Indian that trained his two daughters for wrestling. Very interesting movie. All right. You see, those girls, the way their father trained them, 5 o'clock, pow. That's what, those girls were so strong that they could beat men.
Yes,
oh, very nice movie. Now, at the end, when that girl won the medal, I think she won a very major competition. I don't know. Because her father fell from a competition. He was supposed to represent Indian at 11 and he fell. And they say it's only a competition that boys can do. But he decided that he's going to train his girls and put them in that competition. You know that tear you'd cry after so much travail to win a prize? It is called tears of joy. When the Bible says you wipe away their tears, this is not tear of sorrow. This is not willing. This is somebody that has eventually attained to a prize. Nobody is saying amen.
Amen.
God is saying, I'll wipe away your tears. And God shall wipe away their tears. And there shall there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He that overcometh, And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I want you to note all these things. Can we all say amen? So he that overcometh shall what? Inherit all things. So it means that the process of becoming the bride is the process of overcoming. What did I say? So he that overcometh what? Shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. So this is God repeating something, but using another language. And he shall be my son. So sonship with God is tied to inheriting all of the things of God. So it means the bride can also become called sons of God. The bride, they're also sons of God. They are sons that have inherited all of the properties of God. So inheritance is tied to full stature. Full bridal stature is tied to inheritance of all things of God. Glory to God. Now, take me to verse. I want to read down verse. Thank you. Next verse. Verse 10. Thank you. Verse 10. All right, let me read. Let me not miss any verse. This is very good for everyone. Verse 8, please. But the fearful, and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and warmongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake. When the Bible says you shall have your part, everybody say part. Part take. So it means that having your part means that you have done the work. So all these things, they are works of disobedience. And they make you have your part. Shall have their part in the lake that which burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So it means you can't talk bride. We can't without talking being immune to second death. Amen. So to one of the churches in the book of Revelation, the Bible was I think it was the church in Smyrna. It talked about not being hurt by the second death. So the easiest way to not be hurt by the second death is to pursue the bridal. Becoming the Lord's bride is immunity against second death. Meaning, when a Christian is not growing up to overcome, is still susceptible to second death. Meaning the forces of corruption and perishing can still catch up with such a Christian. So that's why they told the church. He says, to him that overcometh, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be what? Hurt of the second death. So there's a, so lake is actually the reward of second death. What is actually second death? Second death is a soul journeying away from God without the possibility of that soul going back to God. I mean, that soul has completely finished the works of evil. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Nobody's answering me saying amen.
Amen.
So second death is not just for unbelievers. Christians can die twice. Huh? So in the teaching of becoming a bride, part of the thing, that's why you see all the apostles, particularly in the latter of their epistles, Peter, John, they began to address it, James, because Satan goes after those that are becoming the bride more than anybody. So meaning that the activity of corruption or the war for them to overcome corruption will be very fierce. So now that now gives understanding to the seven churches. Have you ever thought why the seven churches went through so much? I think it was in an amnesis I was teaching. I said, these are not our mates. They are our fathers. All those seven churches you see. And all of them, only two were wise. The remaining five were foolish. Meaning by that, I said they were falling short from the reward of God. The reason why they were facing all that, there was a vehement assault against them because they were commerce to God. What did I say they were? What did I say they were? So to overcome is to overcome obstacles for you to come to God. So if you are going to become the bride, it means that anybody that ends up becoming the bride must have overcome all things. Not all things God. All things that constitute evil. All things. Now take me to verse 9. We are building gradually. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
See, let me tell you. We must have a culture of waiting on the word. Those are things that have been lost there in the church. You see a preacher at times, he can teach. He will not even refer to the word. I'm not saying that's bad, but I'm saying that generally, the culture of making believers pay attention to the word has dropped a lot. So in the church, when you are teaching Bible to people, shut down. Like they want story. That is what Paul was telling the his apostles. He says, don't be given to fables. Have you heard fable? Ever say fable? Fables or endless genealogies. But if you old wife fables and endless genealogy, which minister questions? So we have to raise up the standard of teaching the word of God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I can hear you say amen.
Amen.
So verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels that had seven vials full of the seven last plagues. So in the book of Revelation, there are three things I want you to notice. Number one, the seals. Write that down. Number two, the trumpets. Then number three, the plagues. The plagues are from the vials. All right? The seals, the trumpets, the plagues. Now those plagues are from the vials that judge the kingdom of the beast and opened way for the climaxing or the ending of this present age. So there's no way this age will end without the plagues. This age will not end. So this is how God does it. The seals are the seals of the word of God. The trumpets are the trumpets of his testimony, or the testimony of Jesus. Then you now have the seventh trumpet, which are seven thunders. Amen. I hope you are following me.
Yes, sir.
The seals are the seals of the word of God. The trumpets are the trumpets of the testimony of Jesus. And we have seven trumpets. Six out of them are called testimony trumpets. Pastor Sinji, when I began to study the activity of trumpets, I noticed that you see blood there. It's just a symbol that the trumpets are testimony trumpets. Then we now have the seventh trumpet. We see that in Revelation 11. But in Revelation 10, they animated it. So it means the seventh trumpet is what finishes the mystery of God. What did I say? Say that to me, oh. When I say trumpet in scripture now, like I said, we are in book of Revelation. We are not talking about trumpets are messages. Thank you. So write that down. Trumpet is not a physical sound. It is a message. So like I said, when you don't have a progressive journey of revelation from Old Testament, you don't understand some prophetic symbols. So the seventh trumpet is what finishes the mystery of God. So it means that from the opening of the seals to the trumpet is the progressive revelation of the mystery of God. But the seventh finishes the mystery of God. Seventh trumpet, yes, is tied to the seventh, is a mystery of thunders. So you have first six seals are the seals of the word of God. Then you have the seventh seal that opens the trumpets, seven trumpets. So out of the seven trumpets, six out of it, I call it testimony trumpets. So I now understand that, okay, so you can have the all the seals, some of the trumpets. If you don't have the seventh trumpet, the mystery of God will not be finished. So I'm not concluding that the seventh trumpet is the book of prophecy. That seventh trumpet is what is needed. Thank you, I'm going there. It's what is needed to finish the bridal making. Meaning you will not be a bride without all of the seals and trumpets. And I said the seventh trumpet is demonstrated in seven thunders. Don't worry, we are going to break these things down as we go on. Make sure you attend class. Then you now have... So after they raise the bride, they have to now judge the world of the beast. Because I now found out that the bride will be made inside a beastly world. So we have to look into all those areas also. So the plagues basically are for the judgment of the beastly kingdom. And what I mean beastly kingdom is not just one man. Many, many men will become beastly. We have to pray. The message of the kingdom must go out.
Amen.
Why? Because men must be gradually be sealed against the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is not a physical mark like we have been taught. Nobody will write something on your head. Hello? Hello? It's not like that. The mark is a seal of finished work. So it is a mark in the soul. If you notice, amen, I don't know, I think I've gone ahead of myself. It is a sealing of men that have finished works of iniquity. Meaning that there will be a season of grace, negative grace. given for people to finish evil works and for them to be sealed with the mark of his name. One of the things that God will do as we begin to teach is to correct wrong theology. No, wrong eschatology. Wrong eschatology. God has to correct it. So the mark of the beast is a name. You can see it. That no man should buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name. So he said mark or name. Are you with me? What did I say it is? So the mark of the beast is also a name. And name in scripture represents nature. Or number. Or number of his name. So, you will have to do some kind of obedience to get that name. Can we say amen? I know we have some things in our mind already interpreted. So, some people have raptured. They now say, amen. A lot of things will be corrected as more light comes. We have not understood those things too well. First of all, there's still argument on who and who. Amen. How are you sure you'll be in heaven? Pastor, what do you mean? There's a lot of argument. Up till now, there's strong theological argument on post-mid and pre-post and mid tribulation concept. And I think that one of the reasons why we have it is because sufficient light has not come in understanding the book of Revelation. When we teach, amen. Are you interested in what I'm teaching? When you teach end time word without understanding the mystery of, you don't understand the revelation of Jesus, the mysteries of God, there is no way you will not be able to teach from the perspective of the seals and trumpets. And because of that, in your mind, rapture can happen anytime. It doesn't follow a sequence. So, there's going to be a trumpet that will catch up the saints. But what about other trumpets? So when you see 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you see trumpets. When you see book of Revelation, you see trumpets. Nobody's answering me again. So it means that you can't just jump to last trumpet. Except we agree that last trumpet is another trumpet that is last. No, but in book of Revelation, which is a, listen, by the time the book of Revelation came, Paul was not alive. So book of Revelation is addition revelation. The book of Revelation, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And the writings of John are progressive revelation.
Yes, sir.
So meaning that John added to Paul's revelation. In fact, John ended the revelation of the age. So I now understand, okay, let me tell you this. I know you may not like this if you're a Pauline. Well, I'm Pauline, Johnine, Peterine, anything.
Jesus line.
This is my point. Jesus prophesied concerning the ministry of John in John 21. He says, what is your own? If I decide that he will remain till I come.
Yes, sir.
So all the apostles argued. They thought that it means that this guy will not die. But it's not about John physically not die. It means the book of prophecy that will conclude the revelation of Jesus, the making of the bride, will be given to John.
Yes,
meaning John will have the last piece. So that's why he went to Isle of Patmos. Now I can tell you further. You know, now there's another argument. Book of Revelation last or Epistles of John. Now there is argument on this, but this is my own opinion. I'm not saying it's the best opinion. I believe that John wrote his epistles after Revelation. John wrote those epistles after Revelation. The epistles of John illustrate Book of Revelation. They illustrate it, they explain it. So I believe that he possibly wrote the epistles and the gospel after. Even that gospel is old. It's around the same time with the epistles. That's why when you check the time they wrote the book of Revelation, epistles of John, and the God is they summarize it. There's always an angle. They'll just give you a range. They will give you a range of time. They are not sure. So, but looking here and there, John was the only one that said that which was what? From the beginning. No apostle could write that. The beginning is the end. So he met the Alpha and Omega. The beginning and not what? The ending. So John had access to certain additions of mysteries of God that will close the church age. So the last piece was given to John. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you enjoying my... So you guys see why you have to give yourself to understand scriptures. Please, I want to beg you this year. Don't let dust enter your Bible. I beg you. You should be interested in knowing God. Part of knowing God is that you are serious with scriptures. It's part of it. How can God explain some things to you without scriptures? So I've just explained to you, because that word plague, I've showed you the journey. Seals, trumpets, plagues that come from the vials. Because the bride cannot give worship when they have not judged the former system of worship, which is what the plagues is for. The plagues is to judge a false order of worship, which is the kingdom of the beast. The whole array of the world and the beast, they are offering worship. So by the time the bride is completed, God is saying that my worship order has been raised. God will go after judging the false order of worship. What do you think we are doing on earth? They worship my God. Oh, sir, you know they worship God. We are worshippers. So we come to church only on Sundays, some of us. But we are crazy worshippers from the moment we leave the building. In fact, some of us, as we are here, we are worshipping other things. We are worshipping other things. What do you worship? What you give your mind to? What you give your love to? You know that song, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, all of my strength. All you give your mind, your soul, and strength to is your God. Yes, sir. And that is what you worship. So you can be in church, but you are worshiping other gods. That is where your heart is. Part of it is that you want us to round up early. Yeah. To go to your God. To go and worship. Somebody maybe ask March for 2 o'clock. But everybody say, that's only a kind of worship. Manja is playing by 2. Kai. I'm a pastor. That's a kind of worship. It can be your work. It can be leisure. Some people, they worship their pleasure. I need rest. Man must sleep. Some people, their God is their sleep. Some people, their God is their belly. Some people, their God is their clothes. Their God. Some people, their God is their gadget. I'm telling you, it takes power to deliver you from gods. I remember my first laptop. I worshipped that laptop. I was about getting married to my wife. That's 18 years ago. So because that laptop here, Jovilo, there's a way I carry the laptop. I will put the laptop in the bag, put it in the cupboard, lock the cupboard, lock the room, lock the house. So if you're going to see that laptop, at least you will break 4 places to get to the laptop. My wife would tell me, that's your wife. I say, no, it's not my wife. I guarded that laptop. So it's not easy to take a soul from worshipping things to worshipping God. It takes a lot. It's possible to worship your husband.
It's possible to worship your wife. I'm telling you. It's possible to worship your children. It's possible to worship clothes. There's nothing. That's why in India, they all kind of gods. Gods for everything. You see, even in China, every house has a god. God of clothes, God of shoe, God of car, God of earring, God of glasses. They have gods for everything. So I'm telling you, so you can see. So who is the bride? God's house for what? Worship. So you say, I'm building this church gradually. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So the plagues are to judge a false order of worship is the worship of the beast through the world. So the world unto the kingdom of the beast is all for worship. That's why you must not love this world. You have to be careful. The only way to be immune from false worship is to be what? A true worshiper. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God.
Yeah.
Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Pastor, please help us.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. For even this is a cry in the spirit. Even this is a cry in the spirit. Even this is a cry. Even it's a cry. It's a roaring in the spirit. Even calling.
Amen.
Even calling many to their destiny.
Amen.
Even calling many to their destiny. For even this matter of becoming the bride. Even this matter of becoming even the bride of the Lamb. For it is only the bride who has capacity even to overcome the dragon. It's only the bride. It's only the bride. Becoming the bride is your escape. Even is your escape. It's even your immunity. Immunity to all the onslaught even of the dragon. Even all the onslaught of the dragon. Even all the onslaught of the dragon. For Satan is cutting men from worship. Even Satan is cutting men from God. Even Satan's victory is to pull one scent. Even to cut a scent from evil. Even to render worship to God. That is even the hallmark of Satan's activity. To cut men from worshiping. To cut men. And he has done that in many societies. He has done that in many places. He has done that to many, even many, where their allegiances are no longer to the Lord, where their allegiances are no longer to the things that matter to God, even where their allegiances are now concerning things lesser than the things that God caused them to come to be. Oh, do not say it's very far, for it's even close by.
Yeah.
For it's even
Thank
close
you.
By.
Yes.
It's even close by. It's even close by. Where people have settled. Even for a lesser life.
Yes.
Even for a lesser life than the life I've called them to be. It's a work of the devil to cut men for you to settle for less. For he knows when you settle for less, he has capacity to turn many. Even for to turn many. To cause their love to become cold. For many, their love has become cold. Their love has become cold because iniquity has abound. Iniquity has abound. And when iniquity abound, even the faith of many becomes cold. Oh, have I not said, when I come, shall I find faith? Faith upon the earth. Faith upon the earth, because iniquity will cause even the faith of many to lack. Even the love of many to lack. So I'm coming again to fan you up. I'm coming again to fan you up. I'm coming again to stir up jealousy in your heart. To stir up jealousy in your heart. To stir up your love, even your love to continue. That's why I'm showing you even the project. I'm showing you the project so you can pick up again and begin to journey. With vehement love, to become the bride. For you hear this, it's because you have been called to become it. So make your calling and election sure. For your works, even for every of those works of obedience, there's a reward awaiting you. So I want you to give your heart to the things that are being spoken. For in doing so, I'm impacting spirits even into you. This spirit will follow you to cause you to begin to obey my leadings and my biddings, say the Lord.
Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Now let's quickly take a jump. I'm coming back here to Revelation chapter 1. I said that is that while the prophecy was going on, the Lord quickened my heart to remind us that the time is at hand. Let me say that again. The Lord quickened my heart to share that the time is at hand. The time to be fully aware and be fully yielded to the bridal project. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. So as far as God is concerned, 3,000 years is short. So if you look at when this epistle was written, a lot of argument of when it was written. So let's even say it was written in AD, whatever AD was written, it's roughly close to 3,000 years now. Alright? So we know that 3,000 years is just roughly 3 days. So from God's measurement of time, this book was not written for up to 3 days. But for us, it's almost 3,000 years. Because a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like one day. So when the Bible says shortly, it is short. It is short. It also means, beyond timing, that there is a short work that must be done in the final preparation of the bride. The bride that has the word of God and the testimony of Jesus still needs to do a short walk. Can we say amen?
Amen.
That short walk is a finishing walk that must bring her into full adornment. So this book was written to bring climax of judgment in becoming the bride. Can we all say amen? So we'll bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus and all things which he saw. Verse 3, blessed is he that readeth and hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things therein. I like this one. This is one of the blessings of the book of Revelation. There are about seven. It's part of this teaching. There are sevenfold blessings tied to this book. One of it is, blessed he that readeth. This readeth is beyond reading. This reading, the root word for it is those that discern. So blessed is he that descends. So it's not about reading, physical reading. The root word for it, it means discern. To know well, to be acquainted to. And then hear the words of prophecy. And then keep those things. So you must first discern, hear, and keep. For you to come into one of the blessings of the book being revealed. For the time is at hand. Can we all shout it?
The time is at hand.
Let's say it like we believe it.
The time is at hand.
Let's say it louder.
The time is at hand.
So, there is time at hand. What did he say? Something, time is at hand. When Jesus came, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So, while Jesus was ministering, the kingdom of God was available.
Yes,
that's what it meant. When you say it's at hand, it means you can access it. No, so the time to come into the blessing of the book of Revelation, which is the book of Revelation is a book of books. Inside it are books of the Lamb. And there are books for making the bride. So there is a season, a time allocation granted for men to come into the blessing. Can we say amen? So the time, tell your neighbor, say again, say the time is at hand. So, verse 9 of Revelation 21 says, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Verse 10, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the city, that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. So I'm going to just touch some things sparsely today, and then we'll build on. So the first thing we see about the bride is that the bride has what? Come on, you're not talking. The bride has what?
The glory of God.
Having the glory of God. And the light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal. So I like the word, the glory of God here is the light that God uses. Now when you go deeper, you find out that you don't find any light in the city. You don't find the light of the sun. You don't find the light of the moon. You don't even find candle light. The only thing that you find is God's light, or the glory of God is the light. Everybody say light.
Light.
You're not say it again, say light.
Light.
I like the light. Another thing, light is an understanding.
Yes, sir.
Light is an education.
Yes, sir.
All right? Light can be conversation. So having the light of God or the glory of God. So it means that the bride will come into an understanding of God shared within the Godhead. There is an understanding that is in the Godhead that is not accessible to anyone that has not been upgraded in judgment. So the making of bride is the upgrading of judgment to partake of the conversation of God, or the conversation in God. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
So having the glory of God, and the light was unto it, what? A stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And they had a wall. Great. There was a time I did a teaching many years ago. I was breaking this one, but it's still very relevant anyway. And had 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels. The names written thereof, which are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. So I now understand that there are these tribes. Everybody say tribes. These tribes are names of God, natures of God, that are 12. 12 is the number of complete government. So it means a bride can come into all of the understanding of God. So it means that this bride, is because it's not easy to come into all of the understanding of God. You can see Paul talk about that in Ephesians chapter 3. is talking about the manifold wisdom of God, or the many-sided wisdom of God. So those 12 tribes, they are not earthly tribes. And all those tribes are in the bride. So they are nature tribes. What did I call them? All the 12 tribes. They are dimensions of names in God. So you can have some name. You don't have all names. All of the names that makes you a son of God. Remember that this bride has inherited all things of God. Meaning you have inherited all properties that can make you God's people. So all those are in 12 streams of names. Can we all say amen?
Amen?
Actually, when you look at all the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, they have meaning. From Simeon to Benjamin. Benjamin is son of my right hand. So Benjamin is a name tied to sitting on the throne. Come on, are you with me?
Yes,
Simeon is a name tied to seeing. So you start from sight, you end up by sitting. Oh. Reuben is hearing. Thank you. So Reuben, so you hear to see. So it's from Reuben, Simeon, then Levi. Then Judah. Then Issachar, then Zebulun. So by the time you look at, so it means that they are saying you cannot see except you hear. When you look at the original, I don't plan going into it today, it's going to take time, but when you look at the original root meaning of those names, they are aspects of the nature of God and how God works up his nature in us. So the last name is Benjamin, son of my right hand. For thou hast shown me the path of life. In your presence is what? Come on. And at your right hand. So it means the bride is a church of pleasures. So you have to journey to pleasure. So all those names are slabs of righteousness. And all of them are in the bride. So it's not like there's Reuben, there's, you know, the way we see it, we just hear God. No, they are saying that the bride has all those faculties or aspects of the nature of God. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Like I say, and the names are written on gates. And like I've told you, I say gates in the kingdom are nature gates.
Yes,
what did I say gates are?
Nature gates.
Psalm 87. Lord, thank you. Psalm 87. Start from verse 1. This is City Gate Church.
Yes,
so City Gate Church is Bridal City.
Yes.
It's not Ibadan City. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you can see the logo. You can see the throne of God inside the city. Animating the city. And then the river flowing out of the throne of God. So, his foundation is in his holy mountains. The Lord loveth what? The gates of Zion. More than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are what? Spoken of thee, O city of God. I will make mention of what? Rahab and Babylon, to them that know me. Behold, Philistia. Those are these different kind of nations. And Ethiopia, that this man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself, what? Shall what? Establish her. So you have Zion. Do you also have Zion City? At times, Zion City in scripture means the city of God. It's beyond the mountain, because there is a city on the mountain. So when you are combining the mountain and the city, it's not just Zion that is sanctuary. It's now Zion that is what? Habitation of God. Nobody saying amen.
Amen.
So, this is the most interesting place. Son of Zion shall be said of this and that man was born in, and the highest himself, this is the most high, shall what? Establish her. The Lord shall count when he shall what? Write up the people that this man was born there. So what is the purpose of those gates? To bat. So from Simeon to Benjamin, what is happening to you? Batting. There are, I call them nature gates. Because, amen. Are you following me? So the names written on gates is showing you the process of the bridal formation. So I have all of the names that are in God. So when you say God is giving birth to you, it means everything that makes God, all the constitution of God's nature are being what reproduced in you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can we all say
amen?
So, verse 13, on the east, three gates. On the north, three gates. On the south, three gates. On the west, three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And I found out that those apostles are also some kind of names. So, because what? Yes, those apostles. So, it means amen. Those apostles are some kind of names. Only God knows what they carry. So no wonder when Judas fell off, the apostle here is just more than an office. The way everybody calls themselves apostle today. When you understand that the apostleship here is a bishopric, meaning it is a lot. It is a lot. So what did they give Judas, sir? A lot. It's a lot. It's a lot to bear name. Name beyond the present. Name of a future estate in God. So Jesus chose those people. He chose them. So he says, the wall of the city had 12 foundations. In them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked to me had the golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the walls thereof. Amen. Are you interested?
Yes, sir.
So the city, the gates, and the walls are what makes the bride. The city, gates, and the walls. Under the walls are foundations. All right? And the foundations are 12 foundations written in the 12 names of the Lamb. So all the properties of the city, they are properties of God's life or properties of God's nature. The city lieth four square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. So the city is in dimensions of 12. What did I say? So 12, 12, 12, 12. 12, meaning the complete government of God. So the city is a perfect love city. Perfect love estate. When Paul wanted to define love in Ephesians chapter 3, he used the dimensions of the city. Glory to God. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, you being rooted and grounded in love. This is actually charity. Alright? May be able to comprehend with what? All saints. These all saints are all saints of God. What did I call them? What is the breadth, the length, the depth, and what? The height. So you can see. So when you bring breadth, length, depth, and height, what does it look like? A city A city that lieth four square. So the breadth, the height, the depth are the same. What does it describe? God's perfect nature. God's nature that is equity. Eh? Look, I told you, I said iniquity is the opposite of equity. What is iniquity? Twisted equity. Unbalanced nature. Everything God created, He created in equity. Some kind of equity. You're not saying amen.
Amen.
So Satan broke equity laws or righteousness laws. So the bride will be a symbol of God's equity, a symbol of God's love, a perfection of God's love. So it means perfect love is what? Breadth, height, depth. When they say the Bible said the city lieth four square, I'm only trying to interpret scripture. He's not talking about four corner city. Oh, glory to God. I hope I'm not speaking above your head. When they say city lieth four, it's not talking about a city that has four corner. He's talking about the character of the city, a balanced nature, perfect nature of God. That is equity in all. You know, they say there's a place in the scripture where it says God is true and just. I've forgotten that scripture. Ascribe greatness to God. Take me. Thank you. Aha. Thank you, Pastor. Start from verse 3. This is describing the core trait of God's life. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Look at that. He is the rock. His walk is what? Perfect. So, perfect walk is the city lying four square. What did I say, oh? You are not answering me, oh? So, Pastor, sir, the bride is the perfect walk of God. Because the bride is the offspring of God's exact nature that is perfect. He is the rock. His walk is perfect. For all his ways are judgment or just. A God of truth without what? A God of truth without what? Just and what? Right is he. So all the dimensions of the bride are what you call just and right. It's also called justice and righteousness. God is righteous altogether. Everything about God is righteousness. And the demonstration of that in a people is called perfect walk. So it's possible for a walk to be good, but it's not perfect. A walk can be good, but it's not perfect. What does it mean to be perfect? It cannot be flawed. So, is God perfect? Yes. So, the bride is a product of the perfections of God. Amen. We are pushing this thought gradually. Satan does not like what I'm teaching. So, you'll be sleeping, be feeling young. All those things is part of it. But I don't mind. Amen. Because there's not many places that a minister will sit on a Sunday and be teaching bride. Can we all say amen?
Amen?
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
So the bride is a product of God's perfection. Meaning all of the rightness of God as God wants it to be as we reproduce in a people. So when you see 12,000 by 12,000 furlongs, you are seeing perfections upon perfection. It is multiple of perfections. The world is in multiples of 12. The length is in multiples of 12. The breadth is in multiples of 12. The foundations are in 12. So they say everything about this bride is what? Perfect. And Jesus said, this is my work. So this is the project
that Jesus is gave himself for. Now, let me tell you this. Can we all say amen? Now, the call to inherit the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is the everlasting, eternal dominion of God. The call to inherit the kingdom of God is also the calling to become the bride. The calling to inherit the kingdom of God, which is God's everlasting and eternal dominion in man, in this context, is the same thing as becoming his bride. Because of this, a man called Abraham chose not to build tents when he heard the call of the kingdom. Now, when he says, someone say, Abraham had the capacity to build a city on earth. In his time, men, somebody that had 318 men, not excluding wives and children, he could build a city. Abraham had everything it takes to build a city. Because in his time, man, Abraham was a father. He was like an empire builder. He was blessed. He could choose to build a city. But Abraham had the call to become. How many of you know that Abraham heeded to the bridal call? So it means the bridal call has been echoed since. It began in the Garden of Eden. That's why God began in the garden. God is ending in the garden.
Amen.
The bride is God's garden.
Amen.
Oh, you are not excited. Amen. What did I say the bride is?
God's garden.
So Abraham hid the call to the city. Because of not losing his part in that city, he chose to live like a sojourner on the earth. A man that had all the riches to become a city builder. Chose not to build a city so that he will be part of the city God is building. So God is building a city.
Yeah.
Now look at it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he what? He should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went and not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned what? In the land. I like the word by faith. By faith is by obedience. According to righteousness. According to the righteousness of God. Because faith is the revelation of righteousness. So, I obey faith when I do righteousness. Can we say amen?
Amen?
We have a generation that thinks faith is only by getting things that go away. Thank God for that level of faith. But faith in scripture is yielding to God's rightness. So by faith, you obey, he sojourned the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in what? Tabernacles with what? Isaac and Jacob, the years with him. Of the same promise, not a different promise. So we can also say that the promise of becoming the city of God is the promise of eternal life. Because rest is when man finally rests in God. The real rest is that you rest in God and that God can find you a place of rest. Now, it's not like God has not rest. God is at rest. God just wants to rest in man. God is a being of rest. But it's a different thing, God finding rest in man. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
I can rest in my house. But for me to make your house my own, a place of rest like my house, I must put conditions in place. I already have a place of rest. But now, I want to now extend my place of rest to your house. It means everything that makes my house a place of rest, I must build in your own place.
Yes,
so God is at rest.
Amen.
Ever say rest.
Rest?
What is rest? Salvation.
Hallelujah.
That's God's life. God is rest. God by nature is a rested being. So, but God now wants to make man a place of rest. So making man a place of rest is a process.
Yes,
It means he has to put properties that can make that place. He has to raise man, equip man, bless man with judgment, with understanding, with properties of his nature, so that man cannot be conditioned a place of rest. So you can see, the project of becoming part of God's city is also the project of resting in God. So Abraham heard the call. So you are not just the one that hearing the call first. Abraham heard the call. And this is what he did. He chose to live in tents. What does that mean? Is that he chose to live as a stranger on earth. It can interpret that he lived a conservative life. He had capacity to live more than he lived, but he chose to trim down. Why did he trim down? Ask me why. So that his heart will not be overweighted with dissipation, with the burdens of this present life. A sojourner. You know, when you are a sojourner, you're a traveler, you don't carry heavy load. Because you travel, like you can leave at any time. Many of us don't live like that on earth. The strength of your vision of God's project determines your response on how you live here. The decisions you make. Decisions you make tells me if you are ready for rest. So Abraham chose to live in tent. He had capacity to build a city. He felt that I'm not saying building a city is wrong. But for Abraham, he just saw that I don't need a city. Let me just be building. These tents are not canopy. As a matter of fact, these are tents, massive tents. Because there were many. Maybe his whole house couldn't have been less than 1,000. If he had 318 men that could go to battle, it's not all of them that went to battle. You can't take all your men to battle and leave nobody at home. There will be some that will stay with the women and children. So his house couldn't have been minimum 1K. That were living with Abraham. So he could build a city if he wanted to. And there could have been more than that. So, but you know, this is my point. There are decisions you make because of the project of God. For he looked for a city which had foundations. So Abraham knew the city of foundations. Now remember, I'm telling you about Revelation 12, that the city has 12 apostolic foundations. With the name of the 12 what? Apostles of the Lamb. Abraham was looking for that city while he was alive. Someone else said, we are in New Testament. You don't even know that there is a city. Someone in the Old Testament knows that there is a city. And he paid price for it. You are looking for heaven. Now, who has more understanding? For he looked for a city. Who's what? Builder and maker is God. I like the word builder and maker. It's just that city is also a bride. They just put a key for us. Because you build a city and you make a bride. You build a city, you make a bride. So it's a twin city. It is an habitation of God, but it's also a bride for the Son of God, which is the Lamb. Oh, can we all shout amen? Amen. So, because of this, Abraham began. So, the message that calls you to behold the vision of the city is a message that circumcises your heart. To now come and become part of the project of God's habitation. So there's a message that must circumcise your heart, because you must be circumcised to be made ready for this project.
Your heart must be circumcised. So this is it. You know why many in the church are not looking for the project of the bride? Ask me why. They have not been circumcised. So Pastor Sinchi, you need to teach Christ to circumcise the heart to see God. To see God actually means that you can see the vision of God. What is the vision of God? To build an habitation for himself and give a wife to his son. So what is the message? So the message of the kingdom begins with the teaching of Christ. What is it to do? Circumcise your ears. Open your eyes. Hallelujah. Convert your heart so that you can be yielded to the process of being made to be the bride. So you can see the message of Christ precedes the message of the kingdom. The real message of the kingdom of God is to make you bride. What is a kingdom message? Kingdom message. A lot of people make it complex. Kingdom message is not becoming the Lord's bride and the habitation of God. If the message is not doing that, it's not a raw kingdom message. Kingdom message is not taking over the earth. The earth will pass away. That's just a very little aspect of it. Very little aspect of the message is bringing the present. I mean, subduing physical territories, rather. You can subdue physical territories and not bring the present under subjection. It takes a lot of maturity, growth, tronic power to bring the present under subjection. So the real message of the kingdom of God is to make man the habitation of God. By doing that, make the man also the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. But before that, there is a pre-message of the kingdom. It is called the message of what? Christ. The message of Christ can also be called the message is also the preaching of sanctification. It is the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel of sanctification. It is to sanctify hearts that will be made ready to yield themselves to the vision of God. Or I can say, amen, that the message of Christ is to make you a virgin. Because you cannot become a bride if you are not a virgin. They don't make a lot bride. They don't make lovers of this world a bride. So the first work, they have to close you. Sorry, I'm raw a little bit. They close you. You know what I mean by that? You have been opened. You know all those girls are street girls. They grow up in the street. By 13, they're already opened. They are dealing with big boys. When I say big man, I say, oh God, how far now? You say, this small girl, say, me, small girl, I will show you something. That's not a small girl. That soul has been opened to the world. Open to lovers. So it's possible that a Christian soul is still what? Is still a friend of this world. So John, James called the church adulteresses. I mean, there was something about that church that's not been fully virginated. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. That church was not innocent. James looked at them and said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? So the purpose of the teaching of Christ is to stop friendship with the world. Because that is what will limit you from answering the call to become the bride. Anybody that loves this world, you cannot have interest in this project. The project of becoming God's bride is boring to a soul that is still what? A lover of the world. So what is the enemy of the bride? Number one enemy is the world. This world. It does not even give you appetite to even like it. Paul was warring with the church. So you now see, Pastor, you see the warfare of Paul. all those churches, Paul was worrying. Paul was worrying to make a church, present a church, virgins to God. So a church, you are born again, does not mean that church is a virgin church. A church of saints is not a virgin church. A church where people are not innocent is not a virgin church. A church where love of the brethren is not pure is not a virgin church. A church where people are still using sense to relate to each other, oh, no, you sure, it's not a virgin church. You see, all those things are things they must take away. Amen. To make the heart open for the call. Amen. To become the bride. Amen. They must make you a daughter. Those are what you call daughters of Zion. Daughters of Zion. You say daughter of Zion. It's not everybody that is daughter of Zion. That's a very heavy word.
Yes,
say, yes, somebody is daughter of Zion. It has been washed from the filthiness of the flesh. And it's not ready for the project bride.
Yes,
there's still further cleansing. But that's a major qualification to become part of the company that can become brighter. Nobody saying amen to that.
Amen.
So one of the prayers we'll pray in this season, that the message of sanctification of Christ will go into the body.
Amen.
So that Jesus can have many virgins. Many virgin Christians, virgin souls. Souls that are interested in the project of becoming God's bride.
Amen.
Oh, that your amen is very weak.
Amen.
Say me, bride. I don't, bride. I'm even sure you really. Women make it. Probably all this bride you are talking about. I will give it to La Lisa. Can you be La? Some angels just be looking at God. Where do we begin from? Because, you know, angels bringing the revelations to make you a bride. They want to look into it.
Yes,
they are interested in it.
Yes,
they understand how it matters to the Father.
Yes,
they are not wondering that the people they are bringing it to are not interested. What is wrong with these people? Things that angel will desire to look into. I said, God is giving us understanding.
Yeah.
One thing God will do, like I brought forth in the bridge survey, God is going to judge the flesh this year.
Yeah.
God is going to judge Edom this year.
Yeah.
You see, that nature in you that will sell birthright for a sorrow is part of it. Part of selling birthright for a sorrow is that you don't even crave for understanding. Knowledge is the truth. I have to talk to you raw, sir. You, when you watch some film, you know they sleep. I know you give excuse, but you don't sleep when you watch. There's one series, To Kill a Monkey, Abby. Sir, did you sleep when you watch it? Some of you watch it. I can pick you out by word of knowledge.
Seven Doors.
Ilekumeje. So you don't sleep, no darling. The soul is a very complex entity. It takes a lot of power to make the soul interested in God. Now, this soul can even be interested in things around God, but not God. A soul can be interested in prayer, for instance. Shalada! Soul is complex. Soul is interested in prayer, but when you say bride, it's not interested. What kind of soul is that? So Satan can even use Bible things to distract the soul. He can use church things to distract the soul. But the prayer is not God-centered. It's prayer-centered. The fasting is not God-centered. It's fasting-centered. It's power-centered. I need power. God says, I have a brighter project. Bride, God. So you now see why Christ must be taught. Because the soul must be circumcised. They must cut off flesh from the soul. So what makes you not respond to this project is called the flesh. It's called flesh. Flesh is Satan's resistance to man not to ever respond to the project of God. It's to even make you ignorant of it. Even when you hear it, you will not understand. So I now understood Matthew chapter 13. It's the first parable of the kingdom. When you hear this, the gospel of the kingdom and you don't understand, there are systems at work. I told myself, I said, this year we seek God more. But when I say I seek God more, I'm not talking abstractly. Because you see, seeking God, we have to define what does it mean to seek God. Huh? To me, seeking God is seeking this project. It's becoming. It's doing all it takes to arrive here. It is doing the righteousness tied to me becoming more bridal. Hallelujah. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So, the bride of Jesus Christ is the product of Jesus' sight. I've taught you this before. There's a behind. It's not behind, it's beside. It's a behind every successful man is a woman. I say I change it, I say beside. I'm not saying the woman is not under a man. That's what I mean. But I'm using the concept of the bride of Jesus Christ. Jesus' side was pierced. They did remove Eve from the back of Adam. Hello? I mean, Pastor, God did not remove Eve from the back of Adam. Where did God remove Eve from? The side, a rib by the side. So a man and a woman are co-heirs of the inheritance of God. It is just according to ranking that she's under you. In the world to come, it will not be like that. I am the man, hallelujah. Sir. In the world to come, there is neither what? So if you're not careful, and you don't treat your wife well, your wife will be in a higher dimension in the world to come. She will have to humble herself to come and greet you. In the boys' quarters of the earth. Because you did not grow up spiritually. You are doing head of the house, head of the house, head of the house. So she use you to grow. So she'll come and visit you because of, Asha Shanwe. Maybe she's part of those that come and lecture people of the earth. Because, the bride will be teaching other sons of God in different categories. They'll be instructing them in the ways of God. So there will be a class. Your wife is the lecturer. You're a student in the class. He said, open your Bible. Meanwhile, you are the one that used to open Bible with devotion in the morning. Bible where you know they do. Open the Bible. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning. Hallelujah. You know those devotion in the morning, what you are doing, somebody simply walk. Ah! Good morning. Terrorists. You know, some men are terrorists. Huh? So the bride is a product of what? So when Jesus' side was pierced, blood and water came out. Now, that is a spiritual fulfillment to what happened first in Adam. So it means that it's a possibility when they took out cage from Adam, blood and water came out too. It's even not possible. It's reality. There's no way they can remove rib and blood will not come out. God did a surgery. Doctor, sir. God did surgery. How do you remove rib? He said, God has miracle. They don't cut tower bone. There you are. So the physical was what we saw in Adam. God removed rib, made a woman out of it, and said, she's your helpmate. And the two shall become one. That's a prophet. That's the natural. Pastor CJ, first the natural.
Yes, sir.
First Corinthians chapter 5. And then, First Corinthians chapter 15. First the natural. Then what? Then the spiritual. So the natural is Adam and Eve.
Yes, sir.
The spiritual is what? Christ and the church. Oh, are you with me? Should I go on? Christ and the church. So, when Jesus was on the cross, he was pierced by a spear, and out of him came water and blood. Take me to that place in John 19. When one of the soldiers with spear pierced his side, for which came what? Out blood and water. Is there anything in verse 35? Is there anything in verse 35? And he that saw it bear record. Who do you think saw it? John. It's not all of them that were there. Some people don't jar. Some people did not come to this place. So it means John was there physically. So maybe some of the disciples. They don't scatter. So John was still around, checking from afar. Because they are not supposed to catch you. So they will not crucify you with Jesus Christ. You know what I'm talking about? So he saw it. So John saw it. And when he saw it then, so that's why, you know, I now understand that now, as at this time, he saw it physically. It took him years to understand what this thing meant. He had journeyed. That can show me at a journey. Call Lojade. Message Lojade. 1 John chapter 5, what? Verse 8. Blood and water, the doctrines of the bridegroom. Oh, what did I call blood and water? They are the message the bridegroom he used to groom the bride. No, take me to the place where it says the Son of God came as water, not water only. Not water and blood. So, those things that came out of the side of Jesus, water and blood, is what will raise the bride to his side. Is the message of the Son of God as water and blood. The water, word of God, blood, testimony of Jesus. So you now see in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 26, the washing of the water by the word. So you know that water is word. Blood is testimony. So you need both water and testimony of Jesus, word of God and testimony of Jesus to prepare the bride. These are doctrines of the Son of God. Thank you. I think it's not this one. 1 John chapter 5. This is he that came. Hallelujah. Thank you. 1 John chapter 5. So this is he that came by water and blood. Not by water only. So not by word only. You need testimony of Jesus. But by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness. Because the Spirit is truth. Can we say amen? Amen. So the side of Jesus that was pierced showed us the process of how the bride will be infused by his side. So there's a space already that Jesus has made for his bride. It's not every Christian that will be his bride. So being part of the body is not the same as being his bride. There's a process of making. And like I said, this is a high calling of God for the church. Let me tell you this. To hear the call is one thing. To heed to the call is another. If you have been part of this kind of church, you have heard the call. To now submit yourself to the process is another thing. May all of us be found worthy.
Amen.
So now, let me now go to Matthew 24. Let me just cap my thought here. Oh, this thing is very vast. Now, Matthew 24 and 25 is a summation of the activity of God. You know, that was Jesus' ending messages. Alright? And Matthew 24 continues in Matthew 25. Because in Matthew 25, Jesus likened his coming to what?
virgins going to meet the bridegroom. Now, another thing Jesus liked in the end too is the building of Noah's Ark. So I can tell you now that the building of Noah's Ark is a prophetic type of the building of the habitation of God. It's also a prophetic type of the what? Raising of the bride. Because that's what Jesus was. You see, the climax of his teaching in Matthew 24 spoke about the building of Noah's Ark. Then the climax of his teaching in Matthew 25 spoke of what? The virgins going to meet the bridegroom. So Jesus giving us a context, an understanding of what the church of the end must pursue. So the church of the end must pursue understanding of how to become bridal. Amen. Nobody saying amen.
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
They must understand it. They must pursue it. I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So Matthew, thank you. I don't know where to start from now because of time, but let's see Matthew 25 first. All right, we'll come back to the book of Revelation. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let me just say a few things and we'll round up. We've already made little progress, just a little. Let me just say a few things about Matthew 25. Then, in other teachings, we'll go into details. All right? So, let's see Matthew 25. Then shall... I like the word then. So, Jesus began a statement. Now, let's go to Matthew 24. Let me read the first few verses. Then I'll jump to Matthew 25. So one thing I need to let you know is that Matthew 24 and 25 can be explained through the book of Revelation. And that's my intention in this series of teaching. To show you the making of the bride, which is the building of the habitation of God. Amen. So Jesus went down and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "See not all these things. Verily I say unto you, there shall not what? Be left one stone upon the other that shall not be thrown down." Verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him, saying, "Tell us, what shall these things be?" So there are three things in this verse. Number one, when shall these things be? Everybody say, when shall these things be? Now, these things be there is the physical collapse of the temple. Because Jesus said that the temple will be destroyed. Alright, so when shall these things be? One. And then what shall be the sign of thy coming? Please, I want you to know, it didn't say signs. It says sign. Alright? Then the last thing, the end of the world. So there are three things here. Number one, the first thing is what? When shall these things be? Number two, when shall be the sign of thy coming? And the last thing, the end of the world. Can we say amen? So it means that it's also a three-part series. So we are currently in the three-part series. And I can tell you, part one has been done. Meaning, when shall these things be? Has been fulfilled already. That God fulfilled in AD 70, when the temple was destroyed, stone upon stone. And by then, all the apostles had departed from Jerusalem. They were scattered. So you can now see, while James and Peter wrote epistles, who were they written to? Come on. Who are they written to? They were all scattered. So all those epistles were written after the destruction of the temple. But all the saints then had been scattered. Even at the time that James wrote, Peter, an apostle, went to the strangers, scattered throughout. Many of them were scattered. So, AD 70, that was fulfilled. But we see other things, sign of thy coming. But before sign of thy coming, there will be signs of your coming. So signs precede the sign. So much of what we see first are the signs of his coming.
But they are not the sign, but they are signs. They are two different things. Amen. Oh, are you? Can we all say amen? At the end of the word. And Jesus said, now, so let's just rush through. Are you with me?
Yes,
and Jesus said and answered to them, take it that no one deceives you. So this is the beginning of the signs, not the sign, the signs. So when you look at the signs of his coming, the first thing Jesus said is that the deception will increase. What did I say will increase? Take it that no man deceives you. So deception will increase. Now, one thing I want to say, and I've taught you before, that these signs are also correlated to the opening of the seals. There is a prophetic parallel between the signs of his coming and the symbols in the opening of the seals. I will show you as we go on. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
But the first thing that Jesus will say is that, take it that no man deceives you. All right? For many shall come in my name. Jesus did not say few. So, I now began to understand the architecture of the last days, that deception will be on a massive scale. Alright? He says, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Now, if anybody comes and meets you today and say, I am Christ, will you really believe it? Like, directly, I am Christ. Of course, that level of deception has happened before. If you study past heretic moves, you see people like Jesu Oyinbo. He said he was Christ. All right. But you see, you can't tell Gen Z that you are Christ. So I'm saying that it's not as plain as you think. All right. It is coming in the name of Christ against the purpose of Christ. It is putting pito in coke bottle. And you not know the difference. So this is a deception that is not easily discerned. It means that you must have the anointing, holy unction within you. If you don't have this holy unction is not a money sense. See, that only sense going to be deceived. Because the spirits that deceive, they are higher than sense. They are even higher than knowing Bible. Holy unction must be developed. What develops only unction is doctrine. Doctrine, no man develop unction. 1 John chapter 2. But ye have an holy unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Meaning you have the ability to interpret the things of God. So this is a church that they are learning at the feet of God. You know that the church in John is a church beyond the holy place. It means that in doctrine, they have developed to a point where the holy unction has been grown. I call the holy unction anointing within. It's an anointing within that teaches you to be able to interpret things. So without understanding, you can't even have ability to pick deception. Some people say, there's deception in the church, so I will stay home and read my Bible. You're already deceived. I don't believe in all these pastors, or you know, lelong bugu one. So if you come and keep moti malong for him, keep malong for him, malong for him, malong. If that was the way that we should know God, there was no need for big church. When you get born again, just hand over your Bible to you. Go and know God. Take know God, know God. God knows that it's not practical. If everybody know God, everybody will come and be sharing their version of God. So a major facility of knowing God is God raising preachers.
Amen.
Romans chapter 10. They must send men to you. They send men. So I'm showing you these many sides of deception. Alright? So deception will increase. Alright? So many shall come and are saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Not a few, but many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. And you see, be not troubled, for all these things shall come to pass, but the end is not yet. Alright? For nation shall rise against nation. I think that we should pay attention to anything Jesus said, pay attention to it. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be what? So it means you can't pray away famines. They are coming and going. More famines are still coming. More pestilences are still coming. COVID-19 is a joke compared to what will still come. You don't need to like what I'm saying. Jesus said, you know what pestilences mean? Eh? Another word for it is pandemic. Thank you. As a matter of fact, COVID-19 was not the worst pandemic to hit mankind. God was still merciful to us because of people like us seeking God. Go and do history of pandemics of the world. You'll be shocked. Cholera was a terrible pandemic. God did not allow Ebola to spread. Ebola is 100%. If you have Ebola, when you don't die of Ebola, it means God did miracle. You know when people had COVID here in Africa, people use Aboniki. Well, Aboniki security diary. When you take Aboniki and you clear. This one that some people were crying like that. I'm a virus. Don't bother Billy. I mean, at a particular point, I don't know how many people had that COVID. There was that time during COVID, everybody in our house was having cancer. Ishua. Well, we don't die, sir. I said, what of the sign is shortness of breath? You'll not be able to breathe well. You don't breathe to kill. Or if you rob, it's a boo. At times ignorance is good. When you don't know so much, at times it's good. Your mother will just say, go let all your bring a bunny, put turmeric, put ginger, hot water. Oh yeah. If it's abroad, say, you have a fever, they will call her ambulance. They will quarantine you. People having COVID, we are still shaking each other. That's why we should do social distance. We did not hear. So me, I was even obeying instruction. One day we now said we should go out. I saw buckets. Everybody was in the bucket. I thought they said we should do social distance. So pestilences are pandemics. So Jesus said there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in what? Diverse places. All these are the beginning of what? Another translation says, all these are the beginning of bad pangs. Like a woman that is what? Is having bad pangs. She's in travail. She wants to give birth. So all these things are the beginning. They are the signs. They are not the sign. I will tell you what the sign is, not today. So you'll be coming for a meeting. They are the signs, but not the sign. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted. This has not even happened to many of us. It happened to the apostles. I feel that some of those things will be replayed again. Persecution will increase for those that are holding truth. They will deliver you to be afflicted and shall kill you. I'm only repeating what Jesus said. And I want you to see it very well. So if you don't read these places of scripture. You don't read there. This one says, this is my year. All kind of year. This is my year of dance of glory. All kind of year. But you don't read this. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Look at that. And then what? Many shall be offended. You will not be part of this. Yeah. Now, why I believe that many were offended is that the expectations were dashed. Yeah. They had wrong hopes. So when their expectations were dashed, they got disappointed in God. They got offended. There are many Christians that have been offended because of what they thought Christianity was, what they met in Christianity, what they thought church was. So many are offended. If many are coming to church, it's their body that is coming. They are offended. Scandalous. Satan set a stumbling block. So many Christians have aborted their journey. They're just physically coming. They have lost hope in the Bible, lost hope in faith, lost hope in the things of God. You will hear some Christians talk, because then, Christian, no, some are deacons. Eh? You know some deacons who say, oh, nobody know who they serve God now. Ah, there are many women on the heads more than men. So, monogamy is not practicable. Deacon, no, in church. So a man, just you say, we need to help the female species. I'm talking about a deacon. Deacon Soji. Sir, this deacon no do anything, sir. Deacon no do anything, sir. Ah! So a lot of people have lost faith, offended, and they shall betray one another. Breaking of covenant relationships. Using people as an advantage to get things. Betrayal, very common today. Those are the signs. Yes, cracking of relationships. Part of betrayal is that you can't keep marriage covenants. Is the weakening of the soul because of the access. Increasing tide of iniquity. So, men shall betray one another and men shall hate one another. So, hatred is going to increase. Now, I'm saying this thing so that you don't become part of it. If you are not progressively growing, all these things I am counting, it will happen to you. Meaning, you will be a product of what? Offense. You'll be a victim of offense. You'll be a victim of betrayal. You'll be a victim of hate. You start hating people. Now, because of that, many prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. It's very easy to deceive somebody that has hatred and is bitter. When you have issues, you don't trust anybody. All preachers are thieves, so you don't trust anybody. So your heart is open for Satan. And because iniquity, what? Shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. But he that what shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So you can see, salvation is attributed to getting to the end. Enduring to the end. Alright? So, and this gospel of the kingdom. Can we all say that? So this gospel of the kingdom is the message that prepares the bride. Shall be preached for all witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. So, everybody say the end. The end will not come except the bride is ready. So the end coming is not a product of events. It's a product of a project. Repeat that after me. So let me just end on this note. Noah's day. What caused the rain to come? Because he had what ready. So what brought forth the rain was that the ark of salvation was finished. So when it says the end will come, what we bring that end is that the people have been made ready. So what you call rapture, it will happen anytime. It's not any time thing. If a people are not ready, once the people are ready, that's not the when they are taking them. When they are ready, they will still manifest on the earth. There will be a ministry of the sons of God on the earth. That is what, Roman, I taught you this in Image and Glory Conference. That is what will happen when Roman says the old creation are waiting for the what? The manifestation of the sons of God. They are saviors. They are the ones that will minister God and bring many to God. You know, just like God raised Jesus to bring many, God will raise sons to also bring what? Many. So the building of the ark and the preparing of the bride is a symbol of the end of the age. The age will not end until God has a bride. Until God has a glorious church. Without spot, without blemish. That is holy and without blemish, without wrinkle. Amen. We'll continue next week. Can we begin to thank God? We just laid foundation.
Lift up your hands and begin to respond to God. Begin to respond to God. Come on, begin to respond to God. Begin to respond to God. Thank you. We receive grace. Can we talk to the Lord today? And as a generation, we embrace this vision of becoming the Lamb's bride. The Lord, that will hearken to this call, will yield ourselves to this call, will submit ourselves to the process, to the journey. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. We thank you, Lord God, for the grace that has begun us this year. We receive abundant blessings. We give you thanks. Thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit. Thank you for your great and mighty hand that is outstretched upon us as your people. Thank you for great things that you do in us and through us. We give you thanks. Come on, can we thank the Lord? Let's thank Him. Let's wave those hands and thank Him. Thank you for the privilege of hearing. Thank you for the privilege of hearing, for faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.